Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I am your host, as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and this week I am joined by Christopher Salmani.
You are, Louis. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How are you, more importantly?
I'm also good, mate. I'm also good. Thanks for asking. Sounds like you care. That's, you know, you're a warm and convivial host.
Yeah, we've got off to a good start because, we've, you know, sometimes, I get it, people like it, you know, they like the needle between us, you know what I mean? We're pals, but sometimes we like to go at each other and people tune in for that. But this week, I think we're going to be friends. I think it's going to be nice.
Yes, yeah. Buddy.
Buddy, old pal. We're also joined by the man who's, he's a regular, he's on, not enough, but he's on regularly. It's Eddie Walsh. How are you, Eddie?
Doing well, Louis. It feels good to be back and be considered a regular at this point. It's pretty much brightened my day up, that's for sure.
Oh, there you go, my man. You've brightened all our days up. We're trying to be very positive and nice on this week's show. And we're also joined by a man who we've not heard from in a while. He's all the way from Switzerland. It's Liam Divers. How are you, Liam?
Very well, thank you. Hi. Thanks for having me on. It's been, but I think, 2 and a bit years since I done the weekly last time, so this is pressure. I can feel the pressure on me, actually. I hope I perform well and get invited back.
Liam, this could kind of sour things right away, but am I right in saying it was you that was on the podcast when the rat left?
Okay, that was my last time. I was on it.
Yeah, me, you and Christian and Gal.
Aye.
Because I was watching that back on the YouTube the other day. I don't know why. Do you know what? I actually went on for the one of, mind we done the one from the Rangers AGM, and it was that Spanish TV show and the guy with the one tooth and all that, and they keep laughing. Do you remember? You know what I'm talking about? I went on to find that for some reason. I wanted to watch it again, and I stumbled across that one for the day the rat left, and I ended up watching it. It was... Aye, brought back memories. But Liam, it's been since you've been on, but good to have you back, my man.
Brilliant to be back, thank you.
I thought this week would kind of, you know, there's a few things to talk about, obviously. You know, there's a game coming up this week that we've kind of got to talk about in preview. But, you know, I thought we'd talk about ourselves first, see how, have a wee check-in, see how everybody's getting on. So, Manny, any news setting to tell us? How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Oh really? It's Easter holidays, isn't it? So I know you're putting your feet up, relaxing, probably buying some other utensil for the house. But hey, listen, we'll save that content for our podcast, mate. Let's not share too much on that. But aye, just the usual. Just doing a wee bit of work. Just waiting for the weather to get a bit warmer. Can smell that pint. You know that you can maybe go outside for a pint later in the month. So aye, positive vibes. Hopefully things will turn out for the better in the coming weeks. So, aye, you're right, mate. Positive vibes this week. That's the way I'm looking at things.
Aye, I know we keep our products for the Awesome Manny McCaffrey show, but what I've been doing, I've not really had my feet up the last 2 days. I decided to paint my garden fence. Now, I know a lot of people, I know it's controversial, right? Because some people are like, no, you'd never touch that because you're always going to need to touch it up every year. But I'm young and foolish, so I went and bought 4 tins of paint. And I'm almost through all 4 tins and it's still no done. But aye, that's what I've been doing. It started off dead good, right? I enjoyed it. I thought, I'll put my headphones on, listen to a few podcasts, paint the fence. So I thought, you know, Alan, I don't know if Alan's listening, hopefully Alan Edgar's listening. Alan said on the agenda this week, this is why Louis skips through the first 20 minutes of the agenda, because they just talk about, you know, film and TV. So Manny, you know, you were on, not this week, but last. I was that in need of entertainment. I listened to the whole of the agenda from start to finish. Eddie, how are you getting on? How's life over in your part of the world?
It seems like things are kind of getting back to quote-unquote normal, which was not too happy, so I guess I won't get too much into that, but I'm sure everyone kind of knows how things are going on here. But I get my second shot next week, so I'm looking forward to that and kind of you know, being able, I guess they say, you know, once you're fully vaccinated, you're able to hang out with other vaccinated people, so kind of looking forward to a nice summer, kind of, you know, backyards, having beers. So there is kind of a little light at the end of the tunnel there. So
are things getting better over there in terms of, because I'm totally naive to it. I haven't really checked in on progress and elsewhere, but is it just getting worse?
Not, it depends on really where you're going. I mean, there's the difference between here or anywhere else. There's no kind of national response. It's all kind of up to individual states. And obviously a place like Texas has a different idea of how to control or not control the virus as to maybe here in New York. So things are spiking in certain parts of the country. And it's kind of weird. I know they said that, I guess the British variant is now the dominant variant in the United States. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, it's frustrating to kind of see it play out and kind of feel kind of helpless to it all. But just got to, control what you can control. That's about it.
Bloody Brits, Brits out. Liam, how are you getting on? We might as well go for the COVID situation. How is life in Switzerland?
It's all right. There's not a lot that happens, really. Like, Switzerland is, as you might imagine, pretty boring and safe with stuff all the time. So there was, the last time they talked about like opening Eden was about 6 weeks ago. And they said, we've not made our mind up yet. We'll be back in 6 weeks and we'll tell you what we're going to do. So everybody's, you're just in a kind of constant state of limbo. Like, you don't know if there's things opening or you can go to shops and that, and you can meet up in groups outside. But it's either glorious sunshine, snowing, or pissing it down. So it's just like being back in Scotland, to be honest. So you've got you can't even really go and hang about with folk outside. So it's all right. My missus got her first shot yesterday, their first vaccine yesterday. I'm due to get mine in a couple of weeks, so all going well, we can maybe see some folk. Not been able to see any family or friends since August of last year. It was the last time we got home, so, and we're getting married in August of this year, so all going well. It's kind of goes back to a bit of normality type thing pretty soon, because if I'm being perfectly honest, I'm bored as fuck. Like, I'm so bored, like, there's nothing to do, so it's apart from that. All right.
It's I know it's a struggle, and I know Samani's saying, you know, we could get a pint outdoors soon. Like, pint outdoors, you know, we've got machines, Samani, we can have pints indoors, which is far, far better. But we'll take anything that comes, I guess. Let's get to Celtic. There's a wee bit of news, a couple of kind of headlines this past week. The main one is kind of not a headline. We still don't have a manager. We obviously had the show last week. Somani's grinning like a Cheshire cat because he's going to pounce on me in a second.
No, mate, it's a friendly pod this week. On you go, mate. Don't you worry.
We obviously spoke about Eddie Howe last week and assumed that something was imminent because that's what we were led to believe in. Of course, it's just mainstream media bullshit, isn't it? And it captures you because, you know, they're playing on what everybody wants. Obviously, we're all desperate for information and they put out stuff and you're expecting it to happen any day. So when we spoke last week, we were kind of assuming that he was maybe going to be announced on the Wednesday or the Thursday or whatever. A week further down the line and nothing's happened. Samani, how are you feeling about it all? Do you feel like we're possibly being played a wee bit by the Eddie Howe situation, or do we kind of not have a clue what to do now because we don't really seem to be linked with any other names?
I'm fairly calm about it. I just think that Howe's already said that he wanted a proper year out of football and things like that. Now, I think, you know, some rumours have came up. We've obviously talked to the guy and then things have grown arms and legs. And then last week we had the whole stock market stuff. And I think we set that arbitrary deadline ourselves as a support, as opposed to that being based on anything. So see, when it comes to the house situation, I don't care if he comes in now really this season. I'd prefer it if he came in, even if he's not taking the reins in terms of playing games and things. It'd be good if he came in so he could do his due diligence and work in the background. But I'm not sitting waiting him taking over from Kennedy, if you know what I mean. So I'm fairly relaxed about that. You can't fix this season. So, you know, there's some people saying that he needs to kind of prove his mettle and come in and take them on in the cup at 2 weeks' notice and things like that. I don't really subscribe to that. I'm fairly confident, based on fuck all, if I'm being perfectly honest, that he will come in, but he'll do it in his terms, and I'm not too bothered about that. I'm not sitting waiting every day and it being announced. I would like a wee bit more news and stuff like that, but I'm maybe a wee bit more relaxed than other people because I don't know. I've got it in my head that he will come, but he'll come in his own terms and come in at his own time, if you know what I mean. And plus, Rod Stewart put that picture on social media where I'm saying, make your mind up, Eddie. I mean, if I was Eddie Howe, you know, see if I, like an old Jakey Tory dressing like, oh, I don't even know what he was dressed like, to be perfectly honest, putting that sign up, I think that would have sealed the deal for me. So I'm expecting how to be announced tomorrow after Rod's social media post. But no, I mean, if I'm being honest, I do think it will happen. I'm a wee bit calm about it, but you know, I think we've still got this season to finish. We've still got a few games to go through. We've obviously got the game against them on Sunday, so that's there just now. I'm more thinking about that than I am about how, but. You know, some people may be a bit different than me.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about it, to be honest with you. I kind of do feel as if there's the potential here for us to... Not so much that he's taking the piss or anything like that. I think the guy's well within his rights, let's face it, to bide his time and see what other offers come along. But I just don't think we can afford to wait too long. I mean, the discussion for the last few weeks is we need somebody in, we need to get them in kind of as soon as possible to start the ball rolling on next season. And that's my biggest worry. From a this season football perspective, it doesn't really matter if he comes in. But I think for next year, it's a worry for me that we're not got somebody in and we've not got the structure in place yet. You know, we're approaching the middle of April and we've still really got no further down the line. We've let people go, but we've not brought anybody in. And I think I saw a press thing today. I think it was the team that Marion Schwed is at. And they said that it was something like they've not been able to continue negotiations about possibly buying them for next year because of the current situation at Celtic. Which worried me because it's like, hold on, I mean, is everything just up in the air? And we're going to talk about a new deal for a player in a minute. But Eddie, I don't know, Liam, I don't know how you guys are feeling. I mean, are you guys worried that he's quietly confident? I mean, certainly listen to the agenda and listen to the likes of Alan and Kieran. They seemed quite confident. They were, I can't remember what they said, maybe about 80-20 that he's going to come in and all that sort of stuff. Where do you guys see it?
Go ahead, Liam. Go ahead.
The whole situation feels to me a bit like, see if you winched a lassie at high school and then you told everybody that you'd winched her and then your mates are all went around going, ah, you winched her. And then the lassie goes, no, I didn't. That's what the whole situation feels like, because it feels as if Celtic have ran off to the sun going, this is it. Go to him. We've done it. Get out of the water. And then Eddie Howe's going, that's not the case. What are you talking about? This? And it's just, it feels quite embarrassing because it's all kind of out in public type thing. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, mate. I really like that analogy. So you're saying Eddie Howe lives up your grand's bit?
Aye, basically. That's what's happened. Dom McKay's telling the son that he's winched some lassie up at his grand's bit, and Eddie Howe is said lassie, aye. But it's just a bit, but it's also a bit worrying for me. Like, as you said, it's no much longer to go in the end of the season before we know what the kind of Euro qualifiers are rolling around. And that thing about, you know, the club that Shred's at, nobody able to get in touch with him there, anything like that. It feels as if the whole place has got a big out of office on or something, do you know what I mean? And nobody's actually taking control of anything. Everybody's just a bit kind of wait and see what happens. Oh, well, it'll be fine. It'll sort itself out. And I think that's the kind of attitude that the whole club's had for the last, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years. It's a case of, we'll just see what happens. It'll work its way out. It always does type thing. And that's how we've ended up in this situation. And I feel as if we're kind of barreling towards that again. So, I mean, I'm pretty confident. I'm still pretty confident he'll come in. But what he's going to come into, I don't know. And that's what concerns me, because you're going to come into a total mess. It's going to take the best part of a year to 18 months to sort out. And by that point, he's already thinking, right, where's my next job? Do you know what I mean? And get back to square one. So it's all a bit kind of, it's all a bit worrying, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Eddie, yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of a little bit of everyone as well. You know, I don't expect them to come in this season. I think what worries me is what Chris touched on, as far as, you know, I would rather him come in or know that he's here kind of with some sort of transition team, or, you know, whoever he needs to get information from to get that ball rolling. Because I think, you know, that's the most important part, because we can't necessarily wait until the summer. But then, you know, I don't know how Kennedy might feel about having, you know, how over his shoulder. I don't know if that's a respect thing or whatnot, but I think I would like to see or hear anything as far as how or structure before the end of the season, just so we do know that kind of that work is being done, because there is plenty of work to be done. So I think right now we're dealing with just all hypotheticals, really, you know, as far as rumors or, you know, sun leaks or anything like that. You know, it's just, it's, we don't know, you know, and I think that is worrying to me, but it's worrying to me more so with the fact that, you know, we're losing a couple of months of prep work, unless he's doing that on his own. I think that's really what I want to know. I want to know if the prep work is being done by Howe or people that are, you know, connected to Howe. And I think it is kind of worrying, I guess, hearing about maybe the, you know, the Richard Hughes situation and Harkin and stuff like that. That does worry me, because I think in the very beginning, this is just personal, I guess, I would have liked to have seen Harkin come in first, because you would think that then he would go over choices, or, you know, to kind of see if they would align, because how, I guess, didn't really work necessarily under that structure in Bournemouth. So I don't know. And then there was, I thought Christian's idea was good. Like, just get them all in and, you know, have Harkin transition when Hughes and Howe leave or something like that. But yeah, I think the most important thing to me is the prep work. I want to know that the prep work's being done, right now.
I think the point that Liam made in terms of, and Eddie's kind of alluded to it too, about the fact that they were wasting time and we don't know what happens. I think there's probably a lack of trust from a lot of people in the board in terms of doing their due diligence. And I think that comes from the Lennon appointment, and rightly so, because the Lennon appointment was just so unprofessional. The things Law said, even if that didn't happen, even to say them, you know, we put CVs in the drawer and, you know, we didn't, you know, we offered them the job in the shower and things like that. That plays into people's concerns about the due diligence that they're undertaking at this time. It might be misplaced, but I think because of what's happened this season, that they won't make that mistake again. Now, we talk about how Desmond's reactionary, and his reaction the last time brought Rodgers in. And again, I'm saying this, it might be misplaced, but I don't think that they could be stung by that again. I think they've realised how badly they've messed up, and I'm assuming that they're doing things in the background. I can't say I know. You know, none of us know. That's part of the problem as well. There's not enough coming out. But I get the feeling that they couldn't possibly make that mistake again. Now, I might be setting myself up here for a huge disappointment in the coming weeks and months or whatever, but I'm working on the belief that they've set out, they've got their target, and they're just making sure things are right. It felt like that for me, and then I suppose we've got this bit of silence here. I suppose the worry is that they're putting all their eggs in one basket, but I'm not, it might be misplaced, but I'm not too concerned about the silence. It's if we start getting leaks that things are going drastically wrong that I'll be hitting the panic button.
My concern is that Celtic have notoriously over the years been a club that you can't get anything out of, whether that be a return or sometimes a free cup of coffee. You can't get anything at them, and for us to now be leaking stuff consistently to the Sun and stuff like that, to me screams a bit of kind of desperation, or it's like a change in tact or something like that. Because even when the rat was appointed. It wasn't until near enough that day that everybody started breaking the news, whereas this feels like a very kind of public and protracted kind of courting type thing. And I don't know, it feels to me as if we're setting ourselves up for a massive fall again, because, you know, everybody's going to get their hype, their hopes up really high, and then it's going to be a case of, well, actually, it's Steve Clarke. Sorry, guys, we tried. Do you know what I mean? And that's my major concern.
And the other thing is, I mean, how long can we realistically go without starting the season ticket renewals? I mean, can we really go into June without that campaign launching? I mean, they're quite clearly holding it back. I mean, I think they were always going to hold it back a wee bit. But, I mean, it would have been out by now, Somani. We could end up this season being over before you're asking or before you even know how much money's going to come in from people buying season tickets.
Part of that's just going to be logistics. I mean, I don't know. Has any other club announced their season ticket renewals? I mean, part
I
of it
have,
is...
I.
Have they? I mean, the way I see it is you could fill us once last season. You know, what was the 10 season? Nobody really knew what was happening with COVID. But everybody's asking questions this season. Now, even if they had said, Eddie Howe's the manager, renew for the next season, I would still be going, great, when am I going to get into Celtic Park? So that delay is probably twofold. It's they can't announce season ticket sales when nobody knows if they're going to set foot into the stadium and there's no manager. So the delay, I don't think the delay is just down to one thing. It's probably down to a couple of things. I'm into it. I mean, Liam's saying that other clubs have kind of suggested their season ticket, you know, kind of announced their season ticket renewals. You know, what's it going to be? Is it going to be full price? I mean, I paid it last season, and I'm sure, well, obviously, tens of thousands of other people did, but that was in the assumption that you thought you would get into the stadium at some point, and it was the 10 season, so you didn't give a shit. Whereas it's different now. You know, you're going to want to know a few more questions in terms of what happens. But the clock will be ticking with the season ticket renewals, and that will force the manager at some point. But I don't think it's just that. I think that there's a number of issues that feed into it.
There's a new deal for Stephen Welsh announced today, a new 4-year deal, takes him up to 2025. Thoughts on that one? I'm more than happy to see him get a new contract. I think he deserves it for his performances that he's put in. He's came in. He's really taken over from Shane Duffy in many respects. And Shane Duffy is, you know, captain of Ireland who was brought in and made a fucking tit of himself. And Stephen Welsh has came in and steadied the ship. I mean, no one's going to sit here and say that he would even probably be a starter next year if you're going to actually go out and strengthen. But definitely as part of, you know, hopefully we've got four quality centre-halves next year and Stephen Welsh being one of them there for the next few years. I'm positive about it. Anybody else? Anybody see it maybe differently?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm positive about it as well. I think you're right. He has earned it. He seems kind of, you know, getting steadier with every game. I think, you know, we also need bodies. So I think, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer to kind of give him a contract. You would hope kind of at this point, you know, there would have been other youngsters that we would have been kind of looking at to do the same thing, but he definitely deserves it. And I think, I guess, you know, definitely at least on the bench, but, you know, playing next to Iyer is not the worst thing in the world either. So I think that's helped him out a lot. But he seems to be, yeah, just getting better with every week. Not necessarily, you know, incredibly dynamic, or, you know, he's not necessarily the offensive threat that Iyer can be at times, but he is, he's, you know, a really solid player for his age. And definitely happy about the contract.
The other bit of news, and feel free to come in on Welsh, but the other bit of news was about a centre-half as well, Leo Helder, I think it is how you pronounce it, the boy that's at Ross County just now. Obviously, Big Yogi Hughes has been talking him up, saying he could be the new Virgil van Dijk, and he would like to keep him on loan, but ultimately see him go and play for Celtic. But again, a young centre-half. Now, if he's getting, you know, fair enough, it's going to grab headlines saying something like that, but he must have something about him. And I think Ian had said in the group chat today that he'd signed a contract extension in January, or so John Hughes had said. So that's positive. I mean, that's two youngsters, hopefully, that could go on and maybe be two backups to the kind of your first choice centre half pair. That's positive.
I think so. Stephen Welsh, I don't think it's not exactly a glowing recommendation to say that he's replaced Duffy. I think you could have put two Billy Bins on top of each other and replaced Duffy, to be honest. That would have done the trick. But for me, he looked, he's solid. He looks to me like somebody that probably still has room for a lot of room for improvement. And where a manager that's going to devote time and effort into him could turn into a fairly decent, good quality player for Scotland and for, you know, the level that we're operating at. Like, we're not going to sell him for fortunes. He's not going to, you know, star for us in the Champions League, but he's going to be a good squad player, and he's going to continue to develop. And by the time his contract's done, he's still only going to be 25 or something like that. So this latest contract's done. So that's good for him. The boy he yelled at, I don't know much about him, to be honest. I think he's somebody was saying the day that he's been playing at almost kind of left wing back for Ross County or something. Which is an interesting one, because I think when you look at him, considering his stature and stuff like that, people just see another Ayer, didn't they? Because he's the same kind of build and whatever. But he looks to me like he's a really good option for the future. Your man Yogi saying he's the next Virgil van Dijk, say that's a big millstone around the boy's neck, isn't it? You'd love your manager to say that about you, wouldn't you? But thanks very much. But aye, definitely one for the future. Aye.
On Welsh, I think we brought Welsh in and he played a couple of games back when we still thought that the season had a bit of mileage in it. He played against Milan, he played against Rangers, and he got a bit of criticism. But I think what's happened subsequently and the low standards set by Shane Duffy et al. Has helped him just come in and play games, because he's proven that he's better than maybe he looked in the first couple of games, if I'm not being too unfair when I say that, and he's been maybe given a bit of time to flourish. You know, he's made that partnership with Ayer playing together, and you've thought, no, you look as if you could develop and be a good player. And I think that's going to benefit him, because he's playing first team football. The expectations were really low for the squad where we were, and that might help his development going forward. On Hilda, same as Liam, I couldn't tell you anything about the guy, apart from the fact Christian no doubt says that he is the next Virgil van Dijk, and that Yogi should have said that he definitely will be as opposed to could be. But you're right as well with that, Liam. I mean, you just see when you hear the next Virgil van Dijk, you just hear, you know, the next Baggio. You just hear, I remember when Donnelly came through, somebody referred to him as the next Kenny Dalglish and all that. You know, it's no fair giving guys these tags. You know, it just sticks undue pressure on them. You know, obviously he's a talented player, you know, they're quite happy to have him, it's good for his development, but he wants to just be Leo Hielder. He doesn't want to be the next Van Dijk, you know.
He's 17, do you know what I mean? Anybody who Googles his name now going forward is going to see that somebody compared to me, Virgil van Dijk, and if his career doesn't go the way that it might, like, fucking hell, man, you'd be cursing him for the rest of your career, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, centre half is a position where, you know, it takes a certain level of experience to really, you need to reach a level of experience before you can really play at your best, I think. You know, centre halves, you know, can play longer than, say, a midfielder or a striker, obviously, but they grow into it. The guy being 17, Stephen Welsh being 21, I mean, Stephen Welsh has got a long way to go before he gets to his full potential, you would hope. So I think there's, you know, it's good news that we're signing these guys up. We've lost so many kind of youngsters recently at other clubs, and hopefully we can start kind of keeping a hold of the best talent. But Somani, the performance and result against Livingston was arguably the best of the season at the weekend there, 6-0. Why now? What was the difference?
End of the season, you know, I mean, Livingston have always been, well, the last couple of seasons, been really tough opponents. You know, they were well drilled. What's the manager, Martindale, is it? You know, he's been praised in terms of the way he set them up and things like that. But as much as I enjoyed, you know, the first 30 minutes were quite sticky, and then we get the goal, and, you know, we started to play some nice stuff. I'm not going to be as enthusiastic about the performance as some people, but you would expect that way because I'm not the most positive guy when it comes to these things. But it was nice to see us win 6-0. It was nice to see us win a game comfortably. It was nice to see a performance last 90 minutes. But why now? Because the pressure's off. And probably Livingston wouldn't have been quite as intense as they were. We're probably better than we have been. Kennedy's, you know, put his mark a wee bit more on the squad. You know, he's been able to do that over the last game. So you have to give some of the credit to Kennedy. But I think it's just circumstance where we are in the season, what's happened, and we're, you know, all those things meshing together. You know, it's nice, but I wasn't punching the air. I wasn't thinking this is the rebirth of the Celtic, because a lot of those players won't be there. Even when you were watching it, it was going through the back of your head. Why now? You know, you're thinking, why didn't you play like this earlier in the season? So I think circumstances have dictated that, you know, we might get a decent few results in the, you know, between now and the end of the season, hopefully starting on Sunday, you know, and hopefully we take something off them in the other league game. But ultimately, I'm not going to get too angry or too, you know, sad about what happens between now and the end of the season, because ultimately, when you give your report card, it's absolute failure overall. So I don't think we can get too far away with it. We can just enjoy it for what it is on a kind of individual basis, as opposed to looking too deeply into it. That's the way I looked at it. It's end of the season fair that we're going to be looking at just now. We can't look too much in.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get, you know, too carried away by results like this or even the games. I'm very much kind of struggling to get up for any of the games just now. Obviously, the weekend's different. Games against them are always different, but just with the nature of everything going on off the pitch and all that sort of stuff, I'm finding it tough. But in saying that, it was good to see us, you know, put a few goals past our team finally, you know. We've not done that in a while. And I think having arguably our strongest front kind of four. I mean, if you take in, you know, Brown's going to play in that team. Brown's going to be in there to the end of the season now. I still don't think Brown is in our, you know, best 11. If we were to pick a best 11 to go play in Europe in a European game, I don't think Brown should be in it. But it just seems like we're not going to see Sorrow again until next season, if we even get to see him then. But the front four, if you focus on that, you know, Eddie, with Turnbull behind him and Elyounoussi and Forrest obviously being back makes a massive difference, I think, to give us a bit of balance, and having kind of two wide players and quality on either side of Turnbull as well. But that front four, I mean, this is the thing that frustrates me, right? You see the game at the weekend, the result, the performance, you look at those four players, right? Turnbull, Eddie, Moy and Forrest, do you think that those four front players are better than what they've got as a forward line? Like, I would argue that all day. I know they're maybe good in patches, but, and the whole thing with them is that they're better as a collective, which we'll come to talk about them in a minute, but it's just very frustrating that we've not been able to get those types of players playing regularly. And I know it's because we had the 3-5-2 and all that sort of stuff, and we kind of screwed the whole thing up, and Moy's been on the bench more than he's played, and Forrest has obviously been injured, but it leaves a bit of a taste of what could have been potentially for me.
Oh, absolutely. I just think there are definitely positives to take from the league game. And I think seeing players in a natural position, seeing Forrest again I think he offers us something that we definitely have been missing, kind of like that roaming, you know, link up play with Turnbull, Eddie, Moy, even, you know, kind of switching sides and stuff like that. I really think that that's kind of like an X factor that we were definitely missing for a while. And I think, I just really think that, Turnbull kind of maybe had like not one of his better games, I guess.
No.
Maybe really just because of probably, you know, just another brand new kind of system and formation. But, Yeah, I think it's really says something that Moya has done what he has done this year. What is he, joint top scorer or top scorer, something like that? And he's been, you know, barely started games, played all over the place. So I think, you know, I guess you could think right now it's going to be a humongous loss, but hopefully we'll be able to keep a hold of him. But yeah, I mean, there was definitely lots of positives. And I would probably stick with the 4-2-3-1 for the foreseeable future, I guess. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely that what could have been, even just the change of, you know, Lennon maybe out in October, November, and Kennedy comes in, you know, it could change the whole conversation right now, but it's really no use, I guess, thinking about that right now. I think, like Sermani said, it's just, you know, it's nice to see positives, but you can't really take too much out of the end of the season. And Livy were like really particularly horrible that game. So,
see, I don't know what Liam and Eddie thought. I get real Rodgers vibes off that performance. I just thought it was, I'm not saying like Rodgers at his best, more Rodgers at his pedestrian. See, when we were kind of just pedestrian and going through the motions, it seemed as if Kennedy was reverting to what they'd done under Rodgers. I don't know. It might just be me. People might not agree with me on that. I'm not saying, you know, obviously at the Rats' best, we were great and it was fantastic and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, sometimes we just plodded through games with that kind of possession and in the way that we were set up. It felt a bit like that to me. And it seemed as if it seemed a wee bit of a kind of a step back in time. And it's almost as if obviously Kennedy was involved under that. It felt a bit strange. It just felt professional, if you know what I mean, as opposed to, you know, dead polished. It, unlike, you know, it didn't feel like Ronnie Dyla's 6-1 over Dundee United or anything like that, scintillating beauty that Christian still talks about. It just felt almost like Rodgers when he was just that workmanlike things when we got through games.
I agree. I think Kennedy said after the game, like, it's about rebuilding confidence and stuff, and it almost feels as though Saturday was a little bit of, which angers me a bit, because if you think, as Eddie said, if a change had been made sooner, could we have salvaged something for this season by allowing Kennedy to rebuild the confidence of these guys in their run over Christmas and stuff like that? And whereas we didn't, we just, you know, continued to let things go, and the players got to such a level that their confidence was dead low, everybody was on their back, and we're now a couple of weeks left of the season, and this is us just getting back to kind of having our confidence built back up again. But aye, it felt as if we were a team who looked as if we knew what we were doing, players who looked as if they were comfortable playing with each other for a change, and they were confident in their own abilities and stuff, which I think all season's really been, it's not been there at all. I don't think at any point this season we've played a match, I thought we looked really confident and on it, and, you know, like a well-oiled machine. And I know it's only Livingston, and I know the season's done, whatever, but it is a bit of kind of green shoots for next season, I think, which is, again, too little too late. But, you know, there's a lot of those guys who played on Saturday won't be there, but there's a lot of them who will be there. And if we can get a good run going towards the end of the season and build that confidence up, then, you know, it stands us in decent stead for next season.
Yeah, I think it's really important we go into the summer on some sort of a high. We need some sort of positive atmosphere around the club, because if we're on a downer, it's just not going to help things, I don't think. But before we get to, obviously, we've got this massive game at the weekend that we really need to talk about in preview, but just quickly before we finish on the Livingston game, two things that were kind of spoken about certainly immediately after the game. One was people desperate to keep Moy, and the other was people willing or seemed positive about keeping Kennedy off the back of that game and that performance. Just very quickly, I wanted to go round the table on both. Not do you want to keep Kennedy, because I know that's, you know, I don't think anybody, that's anybody's number one choice, but with performances like that, do you think that it increases the likelihood of that happening? And how much do you want to keep Moy? Just very quickly, Eddie, you first.
Yeah, I think, you know, just like you can't put too much into the performances themselves, I guess it's always going to be more positive than what we've been subjective to since October. So I think, you know, I would hope that they would not kind of put too much stock into it and, you know, find Kennedy in the shower somewhere. But I think, yeah, I mean, I would kind of find it hard to think that they would, or at least don't want to think that they would be really truly considering him, I guess, at this point. And also for himself, I feel like, you know, if he really wants to further his own managerial career, I feel like he probably knows deep down that it's probably best for him to kind of detach himself from this season and the club for now. That being said, if it was offered to him, I'm sure, you know, he'd find it hard to turn down. And as far as Moy goes, I mean, you play him in the correct position and he's a player. That's just it. I mean, if we can work that out, I think a lot was said during the reaction as well, as kind of like, you know, if he doesn't see the structure there or the manager in and stuff like that, you know, how are we going to maybe necessarily convince him to stay? And that also kind of depends on, you know, what English clubs might possibly be interested in him. But I mean, if the price is right, you know, as far as what's been quoted, you know, like 5 million or something like that, or 8 tops, I mean, geez, I mean, you have to take a punt on him, and especially, you know, how he's played this season, despite, you know, everything that he's kind of been up against. So he's a definite take for me.
So Manny,
I wouldn't want Kennedy. I don't think they're considering Kennedy. If, for instance, the Howe deal goes massively tits up and Kennedy wins on Sunday and Kennedy has a right good run between now and the end of the season, let's even say Kennedy wins the Scottish Cup and their first choice is Eddie Howe and that messes up, they might take that chance then. But right now, I don't think they can really be seriously considering it, because that would have to unfold before I think the fans would accept it. And I think Eddie's hit the nail on the head there as well. I think he probably needs to go see the idea that he's just this mainstay at Celtic. I mean, that I don't care how good a coach he is. And, you know, there's a lot of players that have kind of spoke really enthusiastically about his methods and how he, you know, that his approach to training and things like that. But ultimately, you can't just come with a club. You know what I mean? He's you know, people have got to choose their own backroom staff and things like that. So if things unfolded that way and he got the job, you know, that might happen, but I still doubt it. But ultimately, I think he still needs to go. See, you know, if that doesn't happen and, you know, we get Howe in, I think Kennedy's time's up. It's just because you just kind of keep him at the club, you know, ticking over with different managers. I mean, it might be that Howe chooses that he'd like to keep him, but generally speaking, it's almost like, do you want to be the Celtic manager? Well, here's your coach. That can't last for too long. On El Yunusi as well, I think we're kind of all guilty of looking at players and judging them on this season and what happened with the manager. You know, see El Yunusi, he's best for Celtic. He's a brilliant player. That's why he moved from Bow to Southampton, you know, for decent money. You know, we'd already seen him when he played for Mulder against us and he tore us apart. We know that he's got that there. The most important thing is you get a coach that can get the best out of him. So let's assume it is Eddie Howe, which I'm confident in, as I've mentioned. Somebody like El Yunusi under a guy like Howe would really, really excite me. Really excite me. But I would I want to be paying £8 million for him? That's the very, very, very upper end, because that is a lot of money for us. I don't think you can go any higher than that. But say we get him for a decent transfer fee and you give him a decent coach like Eddie Howe, I think El Yunusi could be a huge player for us. There's a real talent in there, probably more so than most in the squad. But you just need to unlock that.
Liam?
On Kennedy, same as the other two, is I think for his own development, it's probably best that he leaves at the end of the season and goes and tries his hand somewhere else. Because otherwise, he does just become, do you know what I mean? He's kind of part of the furniture. Like, do you know what I mean? He's almost like he's a kind of janitor type thing, and he just lets everybody in all the time. And you get him, he comes with the place. All right, sound. I think for his own development, he needs to go and try and maybe try and be a head coach somewhere. I mean, it would ruin his confidence and stuff if he was to be appointed Celtic manager and then, you know, his first major appointment and then makes a pig's ear of it. And then after that, where does he go from there? Do you know what I mean? Because it's a big job, it's a high profile job. So for himself, and as well, I think the club needs a clean break. We've got Brown leaving this year, Lowell's going. You know, it's time to kind of clear out some folk and bring in some fresh blood and switch things up a bit. On Moy, if we can get him at 100%, like if it's 5 or 6 million quid, then he'd be daft naughty. Because let's be honest, he's a really good player, but he's probably not going to start week in, week out for a Premiership team. Like he's, and he himself probably doesn't want to get a run out in the, what is it, the Carling Cup or whatever, every 3 to 4 months. Like, he's scoring goals. So I think some of my mates sent me something the other day saying that he's no far off Scott Sinclair's goal tally for like the 16-17 season, which, but you bear in mind that was a really, really high performing team. And what we've had this year for him to be no far off his goals tally is impressive. Bearing in mind that he's also not started much and we've played out of position a lot of the time. So I think we'd be daft not if the offer's there on the table, and it's just whether or not he'd want to. But said he's going to sell it to him, the idea that the club's changing and he's going to get the chance of playing Europe and stuff again, which he might not get going back to Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, on Kennedy, for myself, I really don't want Kennedy. I know everybody's being nice and being like, oh, for his own development, he should go. I couldn't give a fuck about his own development. I'm here for one thing, and that's Celtic. I just don't think he'd be the right choice for us at all. I think off the back of one result saying he should be the manager, like, come on, people need to get real here. We need a proper manager to come in and steady this at the most kind of turbulent time we've kind of had in recent times. So I definitely don't want Kennedy, and Moy, I would take absolutely. I just don't think we should be paying over the odds. I think if we could get him for maybe 4 or 5 million, I mean, he's only got 1 year left in his contract at Southampton. If we can get him for 4 or 5 million, great. But I don't think I'd be going above that, to be honest with you. Liam?
What's the chances on potentially Kennedy taking us to the Scottish Cup final, winning it, and then Lowell getting really plastered and offering them the job just as his final act? Just getting absolutely, just take the job, mate. Just take the job. We'll start tomorrow.
I've done it again.
I'd put money on that, to be fair. I'd put money on that.
Waking up with a signed contract next to him going, oh, fuck. Fuck, I've done it.
What am I like, man? Right, let's get into the game this weekend. Obviously, massive game. I'd love to know how everybody's feeling on it, because I must say, when the draw was made, I was like, oh fuck no! Like, I just don't want to have to play them again. To be honest with you, but now that it's came around and it's getting closer, I'm really up for it. I must say, I'm quite excited about it. I've been obviously listening to the podcast this week, listening to the agenda and things, and you know, everybody seems fairly positive, obviously, coming off the back of a 6-0 victory over Livingston, who have proved, you know, we've kind of struggled against recently, more so obviously away than at home. But Eddie, let's kind of cast our minds back to the last game, because the game last month, obviously, there was a lot going into that. We all had really high expectations of that game and what Celtic were going to do. What can we learn from that draw going into Sunday, and where do you think we need to improve on that?
I think Gal Allen and Barry really had a great reaction to that in particular. I do think that we need to start the game completely different than we did, and obviously end the game completely different than we did. I think the big, probably the big negative from that game in particular was just fitness at the end, or, you know, just really kind of any type of want. That's what it seemed at times. It seems like they were just kind of over it at that point. I think it was definitely one of the best, you know, we kind of had him at the best possible time, you know, with Tavernier out and Balogun at right back. I know it took them kind of a while to identify that as a sweet spot, and we ended up getting our goal from that side. But I do think kind of getting right into him, you know, not necessarily just, you know, tackles and stuff like that. That's a given. I just think the energy needs to be there a little bit more than the start in last game. And I think I do feel a lot more positive as far as, you know, having Forrest back and Moy in his proper position. You know, I think that could be definitely something that's more positive going in than maybe last time. But yeah, I mean, I always get up for games against them. There's no, I still feel the same way as far as, you know, getting nervous before it and just excited to see it play out. But yeah, I mean, it was positive, but I think the beginning of the game and the end of the game was very, very frustrating. Very frustrating, because that was definitely our perfect shot at it. I would say that, I mean, I'm guessing Taylor's going to stay in there as opposed to Laxalt, who had a pretty decent game. But I think it'll be a little bit more balanced than last time. And yeah, I would like to see more energy throughout. And even with the game against Livy, you feel like, you know, with every game, with every week that passes by, Kennedy kind of, you know, drills them a little bit better. Maybe their fitness is getting slightly better, you know, but that, I think that's the biggest thing for me. I really want to see more energy coming out of the gate.
So man, do you think we made progress in that game? Cause I think that was the main thing that we were wanting is, you know, we obviously had the game where Beaton gets sent off and we were good up to that point. And then that kind of changed everything. This was another one that, you know, we didn't necessarily have a kind of bad performance in this one, but it was just very placid and plain and, you know, no cutting edge. You know, as Eddie says, you know, we need a bit of passion. We need a bit of fire in the belly to go and actually get the victory and get it over the line. But do you think it was still enough to see us progressing towards that win that we can tip it over the edge this week?
It was better, but that's just kind of, you know, emblematic of how bad we've been against them recently. And I've said that a million times before. That first game at home against them, worst performance I've ever seen against them through the dark days in the 90s. You know that? Get my old Celtic dial line in there. I've never seen a worse performance than that. So the bar was that low that it couldn't help but be better. Now, I think a lot of the symptoms of our issues of the season were kind of still present. Wastefulness, lack of ruthlessness, you know, lack of invention. It was all a bit tepid, but it was still better. And I think it kind of reminded people that mob are far from invincible. You know, there was this kind of aura that the press have kind of tried to build up that they're this kind of, you know, juggernaut of a machine, of a team. They're not, you know, they're well organised. You know, they're better than the sum of their parts. They're difficult to beat, difficult to score against, you know. But that doesn't mean with the quality that we've got in our team that we can't beat them. So it was better. It shows that we've improved since the last two games that we've played them. And all you can do is hope that there's an upward trajectory there. Now, this is a good time to get them. We're off a 6-0 win. They've won the league now. They're out of Europe. So as much as they're going to want to win in the Scottish Cup, you know, that when you build up to that crescendo and then you come down and maybe we're on the up, this is a chance for us to prove and take it away from them. Because put it this way, see if we put them out and they don't win the Scottish Cup, that's a major blow to them, because they were talking about sweeping everything before them, having a major run in the Europa League and stuff like this, talking about how much better they were than the Rats team in 16-17 and things like that. It's there. And you said when the draw came out, you went, oh no. I think everybody went, oh no, right away. But very quickly after that, I went, well, nobody else is going to beat them. You know, we need to kind of take this. I would prefer to lose to them now than I would later on in the competition. Yeah. But for me, and obviously you'd like it to be at home, but for me, there's an opportunity here. We need to look upon it as an opportunity. You know, there's been so much failure this season. You know, this is a chance for us to go out there and say, circumstances contributed massively to us losing the league this season, you know. So we'll see if we can take it. I'm looking forward to this more than I have any other game against them this season. So
lovely. Let's keep keep that energy. Let's come back to that, Liam. I'm going to come to you with this question, but just because we're kind of all over the place here. But does Kennedy stick with the diamond that he's been using that we've seen? Because you know that's obviously proven effective against their setup, their 4-3-3. It's maybe not everybody's preferred system long term, and we've seen that. We know that. We've debated it, but against them, it's worked. Or does he go back to what we saw against Livingston, more of a 4-2-3-1, and having that kind of width with Moy and Forrest? The game, obviously, last month, the starting 11 was almost the exact same as the Livingston game, with the exception of Christie for Forrest. Obviously, Forrest played at the weekend there, so, but the setup would be different. What's your thoughts? Where should he go?
I would just stick with exactly the same for the Livingston game, to be honest. There's no point in comparing the two games in terms of magnitude or anything like that, obviously, but I think the performance on Saturday was the most settled we've looked in a long time, or certainly this season, and I think with players in their natural positions, Moy and Forrest being the kind of prime examples of that, then you create more, like we having that natural width and stuff there, you really create a lot more. My concern is then that you've maybe run the risk of being overrun in the middle of the park, but if you can keep their fullbacks pinned back, I mean, and get at them that way, and stop the middle of the park being so congested, then to me, you run it, you know, you've got a good chance of getting something from those wide positions. And as well, I think we've done a lot of chopping and changing this year. And for me, I wouldn't mind just seeing the same starting 11 2 weeks in a row and just seeing where it goes for there. Because, you know, sometimes you need to play, you know, sometimes you need to play the occasion and whatever type thing. But I think in this instance, you just need to stick with what's what. And I know it's only 1 week and whatever, but I would definitely stick with the Livingston, you know, the lineup from the Livingston game, permitting that everybody's fit in that formation, because you need to get a bash, because, I mean, what you got to lose, really?
Yeah. Eddie, I don't know if you've got any, you know, it's kind of slim pickings in many ways with the bench that we've got there now. I mean, it's clear that he doesn't trust a lot of players. We've seen Lee Griffiths obviously played and was miles off it. Tom Rogic, you know, he's not going to start, but he could come on at some point, and, you know. But that really needs to be our starting 11, doesn't it? I mean, there's not much variation we can go with, unless obviously possibly Forrest isn't fit, because obviously that injury, we don't know if he's fit or not, or at least I've not seen anything today to say. Christie could be the only other.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. We, you know, like you said, slim pickings, and I think it would be a huge blow, I think, if Forrest was out for this game, especially with the way, you know, that he played at times against Livy. And I think Alan mentioned it on the reaction about him being better off from the start and Christie maybe being more of an impact player from the bench. I think he's completely right with that. And I think that would be, you know, make our bench maybe look a little bit stronger and give us more of a boost as far as like positive subs go, because, you know, last couple of games, you know, when you get to the subs, it's kind of like, all right, you know, who's coming on here. It's kind of the same old guys, same old faces that are kind of the shadow of themselves. But yeah, I mean, you, like Liam said too, you have to start with the same. I guess the only other one would be Laxall possibly for Taylor. But I think it would be a huge blow if we lost Forrest for this. But yeah, I mean, Yeti seems to be kind of the sub striker off the bench. Griffiths, I mean, he just can't see time anymore. It's just, it's far past it for him. And I think really kind of the midfield subs, I mean, Sorrow hasn't played in how many games, even coming on as sub. So I don't know if I, you know, while I wouldn't mind Brown starting the game, you kind of think, you know, he hasn't been airtight. Even in the Livy game, this errant passes and kind of, you know, I've actually seen him kind of been bullied at times this season. So I think, it's definitely kind of scary, I guess, in the midfield, because I don't necessarily, I think I could see Sorrow coming in and starting that game or, you know, kind of closing it out. So, yeah, I mean, if all goes well, it should be the same as last week. So
Manny, let's fucking batter them. But how do we go about it in all seriousness? Because, like, you know, it's been mentioned, it's been alluded to about the midfield battle there. That's the one thing that we keep losing. You know, 4-2-3-1 really is the reason, you know, we were getting overpowered in that middle of the pitch. We switched to the diamond to combat that. Do you think we should stick to 4-2-3-1, or is that just not the answer against this current setup? And how do we approach it from the fact that it's a cup game as well? Because it's going to be very different from that league game. That league game was basically as much, you know, as close to a friendly type of game that you're going to get against these two teams. The cup game, I would expect it to be quite different. I mean, they're going to be a lot more up for it than they were in that previous game. As you said yourself, they're desperate to get this, to, you know, to do the double and all that sort of thing. It's going to be a very different game. Do you think it'll be cagey as well? Because I think it's going to be cagey for the first wee while. I don't expect either team to really come flying out the traps.
I think they might. I think they might try and steamroll us. I think they might come at us, because that's normally been their shtick, you know, in terms of trying to get ahead quite early on. It's important for us to weather that storm. If we weather that storm, I think they'll start kind of second guessing themselves. I'm caught in between a rock and a hard place almost, and I immediately agreed with Liam and said it would be nice to see the same kind of formation and team 2 weeks in a row and kind of try and build on that, especially after 1-6 now. But at the same time, historically, the 4-2-3-1 was figured out, if you will, and we've had more success certainly with the 4-4-2 diamond against them. But I do think the key is pinning their fullbacks back. Now, in the New Year game, we had Frimpong and Laxalt doing that. There's a lot of pace in them too. You're going to have less of that with Kenny and Taylor, but I would probably still go with them, because I think Taylor, as much as he's more limited than Laxalt, he's probably more disciplined. And to be honest, you've got no other choice when it comes to what you're going to play in the right. Gal saying there Tavernier is out, I think that's a massive thing, because Tavernier can't defend. If you can push him back, then, you know, you can exploit him, which we've done in the past. But going forward,
I think they're gonna have that kid playing Patterson, because that's obviously why SFA managed to delay the whole appeals thing about the COVID.
I was about to say they're going to play Patterson and we're fucked, because
he played against Hibs, yeah.
He is Dani Alves. I was going to say right. Reincarnated, but Dani Alves is still alive, so he's not Dani Alves reincarnated. But, you know, whatever they say about Patterson, Tavernier going forward always causes you problems and has been a great source of penalty goals for them for a number of seasons and things like that. The fact he's out may change things a bit. I do think the key's not allowing them as much joy as they get down the wings. And I think we did that to a good extent in the New Year game. As much as I don't think we were great, I think we did that well, and that kind of inhibited their attacking play. So I'm going to put my money on sticking with the same formation and team against Livingston, because, you know, it's been a number of games since we played the 4-2-3-1, and we looked like a team, and that's something that we've not looked like for a wee while. So I'm sticking with that.
Do you know one thing though, Liam, before you came in? We need fucking Eddie to waking up and putting in a performance. Like, and I know a lot of people were getting on his back early in the Livingston game, saying that he didn't look arsed, and I just think we've seen that too much. Eddie, you know, we scored 6 goals, Eddie didn't get one. And I'm not saying that means he had a terrible game or anything like that. I'm not being that simplistic about it, but we need a return for Eddie. We all know you're going to go, my man, but if you can turn up this weekend and give us a vintage Eddie performance, we could have this in the bag. Liam?
Just to build on what Samani was saying there, I think we haven't, potentially sticking with the same lineup and same formation, have two people in those in the wings who are far more, you know, disciplined and are capable of attacking back in Forrest and Moy. And I think, whereas that's previously been a bit of a downfall, having two guys there who will listen to what they're told to do and will actually, you know, carry out their instructions. You've not got Christie wandering about the middle of the park, you know, when he should be tracking somebody or whatever. I think that to me would be a major positive.
Anybody worried about the, you know, what they might do? You know, there's a slight part. I know, fuck them, Liam. Exactly, fuck them. But there is a wee bit of me that thinks, you know, they're going to use this in a way that I thought they would have used the last game to kind of try and make a point. I think they're very much going to come out with the attitude of, you know, going to try and assert their authority on us. I don't think it's going to be gung-ho right from the start. I think that's the way they're trying to build it up. And as Somani says, it could be a great chance to just, you know, swipe defeat for them. You know what I mean? Especially going into next year.
I reckon they'll still be too sad for a big shindig the day before, to be honest. They'll probably be a bit hungover on that. So,
I think they'll hit the Bristol cream a wee bit hard on the Saturday night. So we could take advantage of it.
Predictions, guys, before we finish up, I'm going to be a dick and make you predict what's going to happen in the game. Eddie, we'll come to you first. I know you've not got a lot of time to think about this, but you don't have to say that Celtic go. Everybody just Celtic go win. I think because, you know, it's a cup game, you've kind of got to, but see, every time we do predictions, it's like, and people are scared to say what they actually feel. Go for it, Eddie.
Since this is the positive pod, this is the positive people pod this week. I'm going to go with a hard-fought 2-1 win. Moy and Eddie scores. You know, there are still things we need to do defensively. Obviously, Kenny with that huge mistake last game. But, I'm going to go hard-fought 2-1.
Liam?
I'm going to go 3-2 Celtic with a penalty winner, just because why not? We're due one at some point, surely, so why not be this weekend?
So, Manny?
Who knows, Celtic? Comfortable. Eyebrow-raisingly comfortable.
Oh.
Everybody's going to go. It should be 3-0, actually, but we get one chopped off on that.
Wow, very specific. I'm going to play conservative. I am going to go Celtic 4. Celtic 4, Rangers 2. 4-2. 4-2 victory. On to the next round. Here we go. Here we go, 10 in a row. Let's hope we
too soon, Lee. Too soon.
I know. It hurt me. I winced inside as soon as I said
it's not even cold yet. You're already making jokes.
I know. Listen, it's been great. It's been, you know, I think it's what we all needed. There was a lot to talk about and there wasn't very much to talk about. I think we're sitting waiting for news to come with the manager and things like that still. And it affects you. I find myself sitting, you know, no talking to myself, but in my own head going, what the fuck is going on? Like, you're scrolling through Twitter or you're waiting for Barry to put something in the WhatsApp group late at night and it's not happening night upon night and I'm starting to get worried, but this is good. Eddie, it's been a pleasure.
Hope it's a pleasure, Louis. Good to see everybody.
Liam, hopefully you'll be back soon, not the couple of year hiatus like last time.
Aye, all going well. I'll be back fairly sharpish. Thanks again.
You've already said you get fuck all else to do, so you might as well, you know what I mean?
Aye, I'm available and cheap, so, you know.
Nice.
That's on the back of my business cards as well.
another cheap bit of meat. Christopher Somani, it's been a pleasure.
I'm plagiarising those business cards, man. No, pleasure, Eddie. Pleasure, that was always with Eddie, and it was good being on with Liam. Enjoyed that.
What about me?
Goes without saying, sweetheart.
Fucking leave me out there. Listen, hopefully this time next week we've got a triumph against them to talk about, and there'll be another positive pod from the Cynic Weekly. But until then, this has been the Cynic Weekly, and we will speak to you down the road.